Take your Bibles this morning, and we're going to look in 1 Corinthians. Chapter number 14 is where we're going to start today. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Got y'all. Y'all are all tricked this morning. Y'all thought Brother Welder was going to be here, didn't ya? Yeah, Sunday school's good. I got a time constraint on Sunday school. But I can squeeze every minute out of an hour, though, right? Let's pray, and then we'll get started with a Sunday school lesson today. Lord God, we thank you for the day. I do thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. We do pray that you bless this time, Lord God, of study in your word. We do pray that you'd help us to gain understanding and see this doctrine that is laid out for us clearly in the scriptures. We do pray that it might be edifying and helpful to some that may not understand it fully, or maybe those that have questioned it or have people question it to them. Lord God, may they be able to learn it and take it and maybe even use it, Lord God, to help someone else down the road. We also pray, Lord God, that you bless the Sunday school classes this morning, all of our teachers, the workers that are helping them, especially with little kids and college and career in the back, Lord. We do pray that you bless those, give them good lessons, give them good study this morning. We do pray, Lord God, for Brother Welder as he's preaching today in Huntsville. So we do pray that you bless that as well. Once again, do pray for the services in the 11 o'clock hour and the services tonight, that you'd be with those that are coming, trying to get here for that. Give them safety. Help us, Lord God, through this time. May you be pleased with what is said and done, and we thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, the subject today that we're going to discuss is tongues. We're going to look at tongues in the Bible. Tongues is a difficult subject for a lot of folks. There's a lot of false teaching in regards to it, but at the same time, there is an easy understanding if you just kind of let the Bible speak for itself. If you let the Bible lay it out, what it is, where it's used, why it was used, those kind of things. And we're going to go through that. Now, it's a little bit of a lengthy chapter, but I do want to read it for you so as you get your mindset. This is the biggest part of the Bible or the dealing with tongues in the Bible. We're going to look at some references in other places, Mark and Acts, those kind of things. But we will start here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, excuse me. Follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts. Now, tongues was a spiritual gift, keep that in mind, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen, at the giving of, at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than y'all, yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Now, we're going to stop right there. There is a little bit more in the passage that deals with tongues, but we're going to stop right there. We'll deal with that later. Now, so we're going to look at tongues in the Bible. So the first question is, what are tongues? Now, you know, there's a lot of teachings out there today that tell you it's this or that. Now, we're going to look at what the Bible says, because our study this morning is tongues throughout the Bible. So, first thing we're going to do is we're going to look at each place in the Bible where you find tongues. And they're called a couple of different things. Now, so hold a place or stick a marker or a pen or card or whatever you like to use. If you have one of those markers in your Bible, the little ribbons that marks, whatever. Mark 1 Corinthians 14. We will reference that many times throughout the subject today. Now, look back with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 16. That's one of the first places we see this. This usage in regards to tongues, the subject of tongues. Mark chapter 16. And we're going to look at verse 17 there. Mark chapter 16 in verse number 17. Now, there's some things given here for the disciples in the early church period. Actually, this is in that period there in the transitional period of Acts is where this fits doctrinally. And in verse number 17, it says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." Now, so in the early churches, we're going to see this more clearly in the book of Acts, but these signs would follow those that believe. And we're going to look at what signs are for in just a few minutes. But notice here, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with," now what's the word there? "New tongues." So the first time we see tongues here, we see it connected with the word new. Now, we're going to see another place we're going to now, where we're going to define it as the Bible defines it as other tongues. Take your Bibles, look in Acts chapter 2. So we see a reference to new tongues in the Bible. Now, that would simply be new, would be a language that is new to the person that is speaking. In other words, if I all of a sudden just started speaking in Japanese here this morning, that would be totally new to me. Never have done that before. You know, it'd be totally new, right? All right, now we're going to look at other, a situation where the Bible defined them as other tongues. In Acts chapter number 2, you know this passage. This is the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost came upon men there on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Now the Bible says in verse number 4, "And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues." So we have seen new tongues, and now we see other tongues. Now the reference here to other tongues would be, once again, it's a language that there are others present that hear. And we'll talk about that in just a minute because we're coming back to Acts 2. I'm just defining, first off, what the Bible classifies as tongues. We've seen new tongues. We've seen other tongues. Now, we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 14 and you will see, as you have already read this morning, unknown tongues. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, well, I told you to mark that, so that one ought to be easy to find. I wish I had done the same. 1 Corinthians 14, if you look there in verse number 2, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue." So we have new tongues, we have other tongues, and we have unknown tongues. Now, that's where the confusion comes in. People get a little confused at this last one. And they say, oh, an unknown tongue must be something that no one on the earth knows or understands. right? Now, the problem with that is, as we're going to see throughout this chapter, it is also a language, but in this context, it is a language that is unknown to any that are hearing it. That's why it's called unknown. In other words, now, in this room, there's some folks that I believe speak Spanish. There's some folks that speak, I know English, not Alabamian. I'm working on that. I'm trying to get y'all to that point, but, it's a long process. I've got some of the kids speaking it. You know, they learn it faster. Some of the teens have picked up on some of that vernacular and they're doing well. But I know at least Spanish. I don't know. Is there any other language in here this morning? French? Where's Ori? Ori's not in here. All right. Well, you talk about an unknown language. That is definitely an unknown language. No, but let's say, so if I spoke to you, once again, use the illustration of Japanese. If I spoke to you in Japanese, I don't think anybody in here speaks Japanese, right? So that would be unknown to all that are here, right? All right, so that's the definition here. Now, let's look at these things. So, we've seen what the Bible or the Bible's definition of tongues. We found a new tongue, we found other tongue, and we found the term unknown tongue. Now, let's look. What was the purpose of tongues? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I want you to look at about verse number 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 20. Now, you got to remember something. You're in a context in the book of Corinthians where the church at Corinth was having problems with spiritual gifts. In other words, they were very carnal and they were saying, well, I have this gift, that makes me better than you because you don't have that gift. See, that was the whole problem that Paul's addressing. He talks about gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. He talks about charity, which is how you use the gifts in 1 Corinthians 13. And then he goes into explaining what is better, to prophesy or tongues in chapter 14. And that's where we're dealing this morning. So you have to keep that in mind. Now, that's why in verse 20, you see it says, brethren, be not children in understanding. Now, that's a childlike mentality. I'm better than you because I speak in tongues and you don't. See, that's childlike. And that's the way kids are, you know. Well, my dad can beat your dad up, you know, and those kind of things. And that's the way kids, you know, well, you know, my football is better than your football because it's made by this company. That's childlike. And so that's why, you know, if you don't really understand the total context, you get a little confused. Why does he throw that verse in there? It's because he's dealing with the fact that these people were looking at gifts, making them more spiritual or better than someone else. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children. Now, that's a good lesson for all of us. You know, that's why I like dealing with the kids. You know, youth pastoring, that's a lot easier than pastoring in some ways. It requires a lot more energy. It'll wear you out and, you know, putting up with why and all the goofy questions that you get. But in one sense, you know what I love? In junior church, I make the kids mad and they start crying right there in junior church. I'm not saying I love that part. But, I mean, you know, you make them mad, they start crying. You know what? 10 minutes later, they love you again. You know what? I come in here and I preach, I make you mad and people don't speak to me for years. That's what the Bible says. It says here, it says, in malice be ye children, but in understanding be ye men. It's saying, yeah, get mad like children, just get over it like children. But in understanding, don't be like a child, be like men. That's a great verse. It works in this context, and it's a great verse, period. Now, verse 21. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet, for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Now, it's important that we understand something. Now, this is connected to the Old Testament law, but it's also a prophecy. Look in your Bibles in Isaiah chapter number 28. Because this helps us understand what was the purpose of tongues. The purpose of tongues was for a sign to the Jewish people. And we're going to see that not only in 1 Corinthians, but also in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter number 28. Where'd you go? There you are. Isaiah 28. And I think it's verses 11 and 12 is what we're going to look at. If I can get my Bible in the right place here. First, or Isaiah 28. Now, look at verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue. There's that other tongue. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Now, the this is very important in this passage because it's identifying Israel. Because Israel is always connected with signs. And we're going to talk about that. But look here. Will I speak to this people? To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. See, this is a prophesying not only connected with the Holy Spirit coming, but also that time of refreshing where they were preaching in the early part of Acts, in Acts chapter number 3. So the time of, this is the refreshing. Look at the verse. Yet they would not hear. See, that's why God gave Israel the signs, because they wouldn't listen to just the word. Now, you say, go back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Right after he mentions that prophecy, there in verse 21, look at verse 22. He says, wherefore, tongues are for what? A sign. Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So, tongues are for a sign. Now, we're not going to flip over there, but if you want to make a note, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 tells us plainly, the Jews require a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. Now, the reason the Jews always looked for a sign is because their nation was started with signs. When Moses was called in the Old Testament to go and deliver the children of Israel, he said, Lord, if they're going to ask me, how do I tell them, how do I show them that you have sent me? And God gave him three signs. He said, turn the water to blood. Or excuse me, that was the last one, I got him out of order. He said, take your rod, throw it down, it will become a serpent. Pick it up again by the tail, it will become a rod in your hand. That was the first sign, right? Alright, then he said, take thy hand, stick it into thy bosom, and pull it out, it'll be leprous. Put it back in, take it back out, it'll be clean. That was the first healing in the Bible in Exodus chapter 4, where you see somebody do a sign or a healing there. Alright, then he said, turn the water into blood. The water, or take the water of the river, pour it out, it'll be blood on the land. So, those were the signs. In other words, God always dealt with Israel with a sign. Matter of fact, when God called Moses, there was a sign right there, the burning bush. The bush that was consumed, that becomes a type of Israel. The bush that burns, but is not consumed. So Israel as a nation had a right to ask for signs. That's why, as we're going to see, it is a sign. Now, what does 1 Corinthians say? Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. What did Isaiah say? They would hear not. They heard the words, but they didn't believe them. Now, let's look at where tongues got its start, and we're going to see it. Now, let's go back one time real quick. Let's look at Mark chapter number 16. Just so you make sure you get that wording there. In Mark chapter 16, we just saw it. The first time we saw the mention of a new tongue, what was it said to be? You go back to Mark 16. And verse 17, Mark 16, verse 17. And these what? Signs shall follow. So we're dealing with signs that follow them that believe. Now, it's amazing. Churches today still will tell you, you've got to speak in tongues to show that that's a sign that shows you've received the Holy Ghost. Well, tell them, drink something poisonous, because that's also a sign they've received the Holy Ghost. And see how many of them will do it. They won't. But notice, that's in the context. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. There's churches in the hills that still do that. And if they did, and then they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. See, tongues is connected with those signs. That's why we say it's a sign gift. But it's connected with signs. Now, let's see what that was a sign for. Well, if you go over to Acts chapter 2, the very first time the Holy Ghost came and dwelt in men there, dwelt permanently in men in that sense, in regards to New Testament salvation. I know he was in the Old Testament men. David said, "Take not thine Holy Spirit from me." He would dwell in him, but he could leave. It was a different process. David was not born again. David was not baptized by the Holy Spirit. David was not spiritually circumcised, any of those things. Now, in Acts chapter 2, look in verse number 4. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout men of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own language." Now, if you want to get technical, the miracle of tongues in Acts chapter 2 was not that the disciples spoke in another language. It was they spoke in their language and everyone else heard in their own. Now, try that out in the charismatic movement. But that is the original gift of tongues. The disciples spoke in their language. It was actually a miracle of hearing. And you say, are you sure about that? Well, it says here, "And every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" See, they were speaking that language, their language. "And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" So to begin with, on Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost is connected with tongues, it is not an unknown language that nobody understands. It simply would be like me speaking in English and Brother Jaime hearing in Spanish. That's the miracle in Acts chapter 2. Now, notice here, so it is for a sign. What is the sign? It is a sign that the Jews have received the Holy Ghost. Because tongues are for a sign, signs are connected with Jews. Jews require a sign. So the Jews got a sign that they were. Now, you say, well, weren't these other nations gathered here? Why did they need to hear? They were Jewish proselytes. That's why they were there. So God gave a sign to the Jews as well as the Gentiles saw it as well and heard it as well. They received that, so they got that sign, what? That the Holy Ghost had come. Now, when we, you know, when I get saved, or when I get saved, like I do it all the time, when I got saved, you know, I mean, nobody could see that literally take place. I mean, you might can listen to somebody pray that prayer and ask the Lord to save them. God saves them. You can't see that process. But you know what? Greeks don't require a sign. Gentiles are not requiring a sign. Now, we see some evidence in their life. Maybe, maybe not sometimes, you know. But nonetheless, this time the Jews required a sign. Now, let's look at the next time in the book of Acts. Matter of fact, you only see tongues in Acts 3 times. Look in Acts chapter number 10. Alright, the next time you see Acts or tongues in the book of Acts, once again, it's connected with a sign. Now, granted, in this case, some Gentiles are going to speak in tongues. But the reason they do is to prove something to the Jews. Why? Because signs are for the Jews and tongues are for a sign. Alright? Now, we are in Acts chapter 10. This is the passage where Peter goes to Cornelius' house. And he preaches the gospel, and before even baptism, the Holy Ghost falls on these men. Verse 44, Acts 10, 44, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word." Acts 10:44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision, that's the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now I want you to underline that. They spoke with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. Now, the reason God was magnified in this is because the Gentiles have received the Holy Ghost and the Jews get to see that. And he said, well, why did he use the sign there? I mean, every time somebody gets saved at our church, they don't start speaking in tongues so that we all know they got saved. Because there were Jews there, and the Jews didn't even believe the Gentiles could get the Holy Ghost. See, they didn't even have no knowledge. They had never dreamed that was possible. And so God gave the sign, even though it was to the Gentile, even though the Gentiles had the sign gift there, He gave it so that the Jews would know, hey, guess what? The Gentiles can get the Holy Ghost also. All right? One more time in the book of Acts, this is used as a sign. Look at Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. And he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. These are Jewish disciples that have moved to Ephesus, or that are located in Ephesus, probably as a result of the persecution from the early church. But these disciples did not understand the gift of the Holy Ghost, the coming. He said, well, what were they disciples of then? Keep reading. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. They may have even departed Jerusalem before the Holy Ghost was given. But they had been under John's baptism, John the Baptist. All right? Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, that ye should receive on him, or that ye should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Why? Once again, tongues is given. Why? Because you're dealing with Jewish disciples of John the Baptist. So every time you see tongues, and that's the only three times that I know of in Acts are used, you see it connected directly with a sign, and you see it connected directly to those Jews. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians and look at some more things about the tongue. So, we're just studying tongues in the Bible. So, at this point, it's a language. It's understood, right? Now, when you deal with people that teach otherwise in regards to tongues, usually, you don't have too much problem in Acts proving it was a language, because that's pretty clear. Where the controversy comes is, they run to 1 Corinthians 14, and they say, but since the word unknown is used, it is not a language. It is some speaking with the Holy Spirit that no man understands, and no man, all those things. All right, well, let's look at that. All right, so let's go back here. Now, if you would, look there in, let's start in about verse number 6. Excuse me, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give distinction in the sounds. So in explaining tongues, Paul uses the term distinction in the sounds. Now he uses a musical instrument here. Now, if I just go over to the piano and I start banging random keys, there's no distinction in the notes, right? Now, if I play certain keys in certain orders, I'll have a melody of a hymn. Well, hopefully it'd be a hymn, right? We are in church. But it would be a hymn, and you would understand exactly what it is, right? As long as you know the words to that hymn, or you are familiar with that hymn. All right? That's the illustration Paul's using. Now, he says, except it be with except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? Now, for those that, you know, have ever watched the old westerns, the cavalry, they had the bugle, right? And there was a bugle, there was a certain sound that told you, well, it was time to get up, right? There was a certain sound that told you to charge. There was a certain sound that told you to retreat. And you better not get those out of order, right? You know, there was a certain sound that told you when to go to bed. You know, I mean, why? That's the way they communicated. Now, if they just blew random notes, nobody would know, well, do we charge? Do we retreat? Do we go to bed? Do we go to eat? What do we do? That's the illustration that Paul is using here. Now, look at verse number 9. So likewise, ye, except ye utter by tongues words. See it there? They're words. Now, whether it's a Spanish word or a Japanese word or a German word or an English word, it's still a word. I may not know what it is, but it's still a word. What is practiced today is tongues is gibberish for the most part. I don't know. Maybe they actually throw a few words in there, then you don't never catch it. But I mean, who knows? But it is. It's not words. These are words. It doesn't matter what language. It doesn't matter whether they're understood. These are words. Keep reading. Except ye utter by the tongues words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For he shall speak into the air. Now you say, are you sure? Look at the rest. Verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kind of voices in the world. Now we got voices. Voices in the world. And none of them is without what? Signification. Now, with a voice, you can make all kind of strange sounds, but they don't have signification. This is a language. It's not this unknown babble or gibberish that is used today. Now, verse 11. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, let's jump over to verse 15. Well, we'll just keep reading. It's right there in the context. What, verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, I will sing with understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks? Thy giving of thanks. See, the speaker knows what he's doing. Because he's giving thanks. Now, if I give thanks in German, not many of you are going to know what I'm doing unless you know German. But I know what I'm doing. See, it's words. It's a language. It's all throughout here. If I else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks? Seeth he understandeth not what thou sayest. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul was extremely educated. He knew many languages. Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. See, they're still words. They're just unknown to those that hear them. It's very plain by what 1 Corinthians is saying. And you know what? And these people today, they still make a big deal. They say, if you have not spoken in tongues, you have not received the Holy Ghost. Well, then why did Paul say, I would rather speak 10,000, I'd rather speak five words that everybody understands than 10,000 nobody gets? It's not connected with salvation. It is connected with the sign to the Jews that salvation had come, but it's not connected with personal salvation in the sense if you do it or don't do it. It's the spiritual gifts. And everybody don't get all the spiritual gifts. You get a gift, but you don't get all the gifts if you study 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, so, are tongues a language? I think it's pretty plain. Now, the other subject that will come up is, what about praying in an unknown tongue? Matter of fact, I had a lady call. I don't know. It could have been a year ago. It could have been 4 months ago. I don't keep my mind. Gets time. You know, things just seem to fly nowadays. But a lady called here at the church. I answered the phone. She was asking me all kind of questions about our youth department. Oh, I'm just looking for a good church. I want to get my teenager in there. He's having trouble. Got all these deals. And I mean, you know, and she's just talking and asking me all this stuff. And then I'm like, I could sense we were going to go somewhere that was weird. You know, you just get that sense. I mean, I knew we were going to go there. And so finally, she says, well, let me ask you one more question. I'm like, here we go. And she said, does your church pray in tongues? And I said, well, yes and no. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, well, I'm sure that, you know, sometimes we have some folks that pray in Spanish while we're praying in English. So that's different tongues. Oh, no. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. And I knew that wasn't what she was talking about, but I was just having some fun. You know, if you're going to waste my time on the phone, I'm going to have as much fun as possible. But she was talking about, and now you say, this lady wasn't charismatic. She was looking for a Baptist church. See what I mean? It's not just a charismatic doctrine. Now, most of the Baptists that will do that, they'll say, oh, we pray in tongues. We don't speak in tongues, but we pray in tongues. And it's a prayer language that nobody knows but God. Now, what they do is they couple this verse in 1 Corinthians with the Spirit maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's in Romans. Now, that's what they do, but they believe that that gets involved and the Spirit starts making them out loud. Now, that's the Holy Spirit in the book of Romans. Let's look at this real quick. Look in 1 Corinthians 14. Look in verse number 12. Even so ye, as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, whose spirit is praying right there? My spirit. That's not the Spirit of God over there in Romans praying when you don't know what to pray. Those are not the same two passages. But they couple that together and say it's a special prayer language. And she got mad that we didn't pray in tongues. And I'm like, look, it's not the same. This verse says, my spirit prayeth, not the Holy Spirit prayeth. Remember, in you there's two spirits. Well, actually, there can be three spirits. You've got the spirit of man before you get saved. Guess what? You get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. You didn't lose the spirit of man. The Bible says, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You've still got your spirit in there. Now, there's also the spirit of Antichrist that can, you know, I mean, you know, Dr. Ruttman always says, when a man preaches, you got one of three spirits that's coming out. If he's prayed up and in tune with the Holy Ghost, it'll be the Holy Ghost that comes out. If it's just his thoughts and his ideas, it's his spirit coming out. And if the devil gets in that thing, it'd be the devil's spirit coming out. You know, and that's true. But notice here, the Bible says, Paul says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." Now, the next thing they do is they read that and say, "You don't understand what you prayed." That's not what the verse said. It says, "My understanding is unfruitful." If all of a sudden I started praying in Spanish, I probably wouldn't understand it. I might understand some of the words because I know a little bit of Spanish. But my understanding of the prayer would be unfruitful. It wouldn't benefit anything if nobody else understands Spanish. Now, there's a few in here that might get something out of it. That's what Paul's saying. It's my spirit. Now, this is important because it's this prayer, it's still your spirit. It would be somebody praying in an unknown language. It's still not praying in tongues as it is taught by many today. Now, the key is, let's jump back over to 1 Corinthians. I mean, we're in 1 Corinthians 14. Let's jump back over to verse number 1. Now, we got a whole chapter that deals with tongues, but look at the first three verses. The first three verses will tell you really what is important when it comes to tongues. And it's got some key things in it. Look at verse 1. "Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy." If you got to have a spiritual gift, the Bible says you'd do better to prophesy. Why? Tongues ain't important. It was for the Jews because it was a sign, right? But it's not connected with salvation, the Bible says. Now, verse 2. "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit." Notice that's a lowercase s. See, even in the speaking of tongues, in this chapter, in an unknown tongue, it's still connected with that spirit of man, not the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's a language. Now, granted, somebody that actually had the gift of tongues, God allowed them to speak in an unknown language. But still, it's here. "Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort." That's what we need. Now, real quick, I want you to jump back over and I want you to look at something. I want you to look in... Or no, you actually got to go the other way. I said jump back. I meant jump forward. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Hold your place here. Ephesians chapter 4. What was one of the main purpose for spiritual gifts? Well, let's look at them here. Now, the spiritual gifts listed here are individual people. But when you put Romans and 1 Corinthians together, there's more. We did a couple months ago, we did a lesson on Wednesday night about spiritual gifts. Now, we're going to look in verse number seven to get our context. I was trying to figure out where it'd be the best for the context. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascendeth on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but first also that he descended? Or what is it but also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Three main reasons. And the biggest majority of all of those is directed at the church to build you up, to edify. Look at that. For the perfecting of the saints. That's for folks that are saved, building them up. For the work of the ministry. That could include outside the church, but still, there's a lot inside the church that's included under there. For the edifying of the body of Christ. That's dealing with saved people. Now, look back to 1 Corinthians 14, and let's look at this. One of the main reasons of the gifts was to edify the church. What does tongues do? It doesn't edify the church without, unless there's an interpreter. And that's a language. Understanding a language. Now, look at verse number 3. But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to what? To edification and exhortation and comfort. Prophesying does that. That's why it's more important than tongues. Look at verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, who does he edify? Himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. That's why church is more important. Now, think about that. People that are hung up on tongues, usually hung up on themselves. It's promoting self. That's why this movement about the Holy Spirit, it usually is all about promoting the Holy Spirit, not about promoting Jesus Christ. In John chapter 16, when Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, He will speak not of Himself, but of Me. That's what the purpose of the Holy Spirit is going to do when He comes. So notice here. So he that edifieth, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth, edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. Now, if speaking in tongues was essential to salvation, Paul would have never said, I don't want you to speak in tongues. Because Paul's desire was that all people get saved. Especially the Jews. But here he says, look, I'd rather you prophesy. Say why? Because prophesying is what works. Now, here's the thing. I used to, in the prisons, I dealt with a lot. I mean, that was one of the main things. It was from the day one in our Bible study, I had people asking me, what do you think about tongues? What do you think about tongues? What do you think about healing? You say, why? Because charismatic doctrine is way big in the prisons. And you say, why? Because it's emotional, it feel good, all that kind of stuff. It suits, it really preys on what's going on there. But it's very heavy in those institutions. And so they were always after me about tongues. And so finally I broke down. I said, well, I've been here about a year. I've been teaching now. Most of you are familiar with me and how I teach and the Bible. I said, so we're going to study tongues. And we studied this thing out. And boy, you talk about information moving. You know, you think information can move with Facebook and all the social media we got. You ought to figure out how a prison works. I mean, I could go anywhere in the prison and they could question me on, you don't believe in tongues, do you? You don't believe in healing, do you? I mean, everywhere I went in the prison, you say, why? I taught it in one class with about 20 people, and it was known over that entire prison. So, next thing you know, I had to start, they asked me to start a class in another part. I did. Man, them guys worried me to death. Teach on tongues. Teach on tongues. I said, okay, you're not going to like it, but we're going to teach on it. And so, we were teaching on it, and we were going through this, and just laying it out. And it's amazing when you just simply read through it. Now, this blew me away. Do I think he changed? No. But I had a guy that was standing over there listening, and he come up to me, and this is what he said. And this is typical of what you hear. He came up to me after he heard me. He wasn't in my class. He just listened. He came up to me afterwards. He said, excuse me, sir. He said, I want to talk to you. I said, yeah, I kind of figured so. Because I knew, you can just tell. And I said, yeah, I kind of figured. And he said, well, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I've been saved. He said, he gave me the date. He said, I was saved on this date right here. And he said, I have received my initial filling of the Holy Ghost on this date here. And I said, really? I said, how do you know you did? Oh, I spoke in tongues. And I said, you see, you know, and he said, but I'm going to tell you something. He said, when you were teaching that, I leaned over and I told my brother at the table, he said, we've been teaching it wrong all these years. And I said, I stood there and looked at him for about 5 minutes because I didn't know what to say. I'm always prepared to defend. I'm never prepared when they agree with you. I mean, that just throws you totally off base. You don't know what to do when they come out and actually agree with you for a change. I mean, it's just insane. You know, I was kind of like, well, okay, you know. He said, but you know, and then he told me, he said, you know, I'm not going to be able to sell this in here. I said, look, it's the Bible. You know, I mean, I don't care. I mean, people believe it or they don't. But it was funny because, see, people connect their salvation with that. And the way they tell it to you is, I got saved on this date, but I got my initial filling of the Holy Ghost on this date. They connect it with tongues. Now, look at something in this passage. If you just simply read the passage, look at it in verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? Yes, they will. And many of you have. But if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. It's interesting. I've been studying this week. That's why I taught on it. This was in my study this week. And I never paid attention to that verse. What proves God in that passage? It's not tongues that proves God's in somebody. It's prophesying. People say, oh, the tongues is my initial feeling. That's nonsense. The Bible says it's prophesying that proves to a lost person that God is in you. Say, what is that prophesying? Many of you understand this. You'll come in here and somebody will be preaching. And they'll be telling you all the things you did last week. And you'll wonder if they got a camera in your house. Say, that's prophesying. That's the Holy Ghost of God. You know, a lost man come in here, and that preacher can preach at him. It's like, I mean, you know, I've heard preachers, you know, you heard people give testimony. That preacher's up there shaking his finger, and he had to be pointing it just at me. And people get saved. That's prophesying. That is why prophecy in this chapter is put above all the gifts. Look at the very end. Verse 39, I think it's the only thing you're told to covet in the Bible. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, but forbid not to speak with tongues. Now, there's some rules for speaking in tongues, and I didn't have time to go into them. They don't follow the rules because there's only supposed to be two or three at the most. And they're supposed to be one at a time. And there has to be an interpreter. And if you want to get real technical, you men, y'all love this verse, I know, but it's in a passage with tongues. Look at verse 40, 34. Let your women keep silence in the churches. See, go to any charismatic church you want. They done broke. That tells you that ain't of the Spirit of God because they're breaking 34. If you're going to have real tongues in a church, women ain't supposed to do it. Notice it says, let your women keep silence in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. We know that's not talking about they can't speak at all. They sing and they, you know, teach Sunday school, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. For if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for if it is a shame for women to speak in the church. See, they don't even practice that. That's in connection with tongues. But yet that's not practiced. So you see, what are tongues? They're languages. They're not unknown. They're not gibberish. They're languages. There's other tongues. There's new tongues. There's unknown tongues. Depends on how it's being received. There are for a sign. They were to the Jews that it was a sign to the Jews that the Holy Ghost has come. That's why the sign gifts phased out, because God switched over and started dealing with Gentiles. Gentiles don't require a sign. Last of all, the most important thing, according to 1 Corinthians 14, is to edify the church. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the day. Thank you for this study that you give us here on a doctrinal subject such as tongues. Do pray that it was helpful and beneficial to those that heard. Do pray, Lord God, that you'd help us to use this not only to edify and strengthen ourselves, but also that we wouldn't be swayed if we hear anything otherwise or contrary, and we'd be able to maybe show someone else with these things that we have learned. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.